welcome to a new year on Blog Talk Radio and Sound Health Options. I'm Sherry Edwards, along with Richard. Richard, I want to thank you this year. And, well, that's all along we've known each other, right? And, I really appreciate your support with Blog Talk. I don't know why, when you come on the show, I don't have much fear of it. I can get up and talk to hundreds of people in an audience, but talking on radio, I think, I'm going to run out of something to say. So, Happy New Year. Glad you're here.
Thank you very much. It's funny because I have the exact opposite thing where I hate speaking in front of groups, but I have no problem having done regular radio, speaking to thousands of people, tens or hundreds of thousands of people on radio. I'm totally comfortable, but don't put me in front of an audience. I'm just the opposite.
Good.
And thank you. It's been fun.
Somebody's typing and we can hear it. I don't know where that's coming from. We are broadcasting on WebEx today. We'll be showing a little video, a couple of minutes. And also we're going to be doing people's vocal prints. We'll be talking about relationships, compatibilities, sexual factors of relationships. The call-in number, 347-850-1407. 347-850-1407. Or for those of you online with us, and thank you, I know it's been a busy weekend. If you want to be a guinea pig, you just need to raise your hand, and you can do that by going down the bottom and say, pass the mic, or we only have four mics here, so you can do that. What's up with you, Richard, this week?
This week is sort of the, it's every... I've already got a few people that I've been doing work with who were all everybody's sort of dragging their feet thinking, oh, back to work, because last week was kind of the, week off post-celebration, everybody being philosophical about the new year, and we're all, it's a new year, which is good. And plus the big eclipse was really an interesting, sort of cleansing. It's a good way of, releasing the past, and it was during a Mercury retrograde, and
You got to see the eclipse?
Well, sort of through the fog here, but I got to see snippets of it. I got to see, a blast of the fog blow by, and then you'd see the moon for a few minutes, and then it would come back. And so, but I did actually get to see it be fully eclipsed, which was pretty darn fun.
We got to see dark, dark and light, but there was so many clouds and junk, it just wasn't something we could do.
Yeah. So it was a good cleansing. I thought it was a good way to end the year and start anew, fresh and clean, and, like going through the car wash. It always feels good to go through the car wash.
Sounds good. I hope the new year is wonderful for everyone. And Jim and Cindy sent me a poem. That's by I-N-E, first name, B-R-A-A-T. I looked up this person's website. That is a girl's name, so I don't know if it's any Brett or any Brat. She seems to be Scandinavian, but the poem is beautiful. I'd like to share that. We got on a roll last week when people sent us some poems. I wish you health so you may enjoy each day in comfort. I wish you the love of friends and family, and peace within your heart. I wish you wisdom to choose priorities for those things that really matter in life. I wish you generosity so that you may share all good things that come to you. I wish you happiness, and by the blessings of the new year, I wish you the best of everything that you so well deserve. Isn't that pretty?
That's very nice. Yeah.
It's simple.
Yeah.
I wish you wisdom to choose the priorities that really matter in your life. I love that. I wish you health so you may enjoy each day in comfort. Very nice. We also got two presents from people. They sent us books on love. one just L.O.V.E. I guess because we were talking about love and love strategies and that kind of thing last week, which we are going to continue this week. This one that I really like is from Dr. Les and Leslie Parrott, P-A-R-R-O-T-T. I didn't know these people were listening to the show, but they
wow.
Their book, very nice, got a lot of information on what kind of lover are you, what kind of partner are you. And then last week, too, we also gave people five questions to work on. So we're going to look at those. This talks about partners. Is your partner easily annoyed, hot-tempered, domineering? Mine's inconsistent. This happened last night. It says, I don't mind being disturbed or interrupted, but when I interrupted his reading, he complained. So I guess that would be my complaint today. Non-consistency. The other book that was sent to us by Madeline, Elemental Love Styles. And this divides things up into astrology kinds of information. Are you a fire, earth, air, or water lover? And we looked at that a little bit before, like the red person. And we're talking about nanovoice.org, for those of you who are not familiar with that, and how you can look at your love styles on nanovoice.org. And we're going to be doing that on the show. But this divides this into fire, earth, air, and water. So the water person would be blue, and they would be sensitive and probably high emotional maintenance. The air would be the yellow, and that they would want to do crossword puzzles and, you know, just together, you know, over coffee. The fire person would be the red that comes up in the chart. Richard has a lot of red in his chart. And they're the person who can detach and attach easily. But whoever they're with is their total focus at the moment. And they have very strong gut-level priorities of what is reality and what's integrity. Okay, which one? I left out the green. That's the earth person. If you want a person that is totally committed, you're going to pick an earth person because they're all the time looking at the future. That's that farmer person. You know, and one of the strange things about both of these books is their front covers are divided into colors. Green, blue, yellow, and red. Blue, green, red, and orange. That doesn't match quite what we're saying, but I think it matches some of Carol Reitberger's information where she has red and orange. Thank you. That's one of the signs of giving and loving and languages of love, how people look at each other. We were talking about that last week also, and we'll talk about that in a minute. I have a couple of serious announcements. So, Richard, did you get around to looking at those five questions?
I did, and I'm still slightly perplexed by them, so that may say something right there.
I think it does. I don't think many people know what love is. And I'm nearly 64 years old, and I think last year I figured out what love is. Because my kids would say, love you, you know, on the phone, and my grandkids, love you on the phone. I was like, what does that really mean? You know, I asked them to come and mow the grass 2 months ago, and they didn't. What does that really mean? Well, I don't think they love me if they don't comply with my request of service. And that acts of service really is a love style. But I figured out, I think, that for me, loving somebody is you're willing to forgive them anything. So I'm willing to forgive them for letting my grass get up to my thighs. And if they said, no, Grandma, I don't have time, that's okay. I'll go get somebody else to do it. But, oh, Grandma, I'll be there tomorrow. Oh, I forgot. Tomorrow. So broken promises are something serious to me. So we're going to talk about those language love styles in just a few minutes. But here is some important, I think important, announcements that people ask us to look at. There is a drug recall, a very serious drug recall, and I really hope I can pronounce this word. Phenopropanolamine, phenylpropanolamine. Phenylpropanolamine. It's being recalled because it's causing hemorrhagic stroke. And
yipes.
Wow. Go ahead,
Richard. I just said yipes.
Particularly for women between 18 and 49, and sometimes within a day of starting the medication. And I know this is a long list, but I think it's important that we let people know this. Actrim diet gum, Accutrim dietary supplements, Accutrim maximum strength appetite control, Alka-Seltzer Plus for children, Alka-Seltzer Plus cherry and orange, Alka-Seltzer Plus cough and cold for adults. It lists almost every kind of Alka-Seltzer cold and sinus, Alka-Seltzer cold and flu, Alka-Seltzer nighttime cold, BC allergy cold power, and I don't know what the BC stands for, I should look that up, BC science cold power, Comtrex flu therapy, day and night contact 12-hour cold capsules, any contact 12-hour caplets, Coricidin, Dexatrim caffeine-free, Dexatrim gel caps, Dexatrim vitamin C, Dimetapp cold and cough, liquid gels, Dimetapp cold cough elixir, a tablet, boy, it looks like anything Dimetapp. Naldecon pediatric drops, Robitussin, Tavis D, Triaminic, boy. That's a lot. Women, 14 to what? What was this? Well, 18 to 49. This phenylpropanolamine is causing stroke. And I think that's a pretty incredible and important thing. I don't take any of those. I take grapefruit seed extract. And you can get that at your health food store. Nutrabiotic is probably the best brand. And we got something from our Fighting for Liberty friends. They wanted us to know that this happened and that there was no news coverage, which is something we're going to cover in a minute here. There was a bunch of vets who marched on the White House, and they wanted to stop the war, and they drug them off and decided that they wouldn't allow any publicity about it. There's some pretty famous people in there too. Daniel Ellsberg. I had a list of the people that were here, but my papers are messed up and I don't have it, so my apologies for that. Here's another piece of information someone sent, and I couldn't believe it, but I looked it up on the internet, and sure enough, there's a story about this. A United States Congressman, Hank Johnson, has become an unlikely internet hit after he claimed the Asian Pacific island of Guam would tip over and capsize from a planned influx of American troops. He said that unless everything is evenly distributed on Guam and the U.S. military is planning to move a base there or to make a base bigger, and that Guam will capsize and sink. Are you speechless, Richard?
Well, I needed a good laugh. Wow, really?
That was really true.
It's going to tip and sink.
This
Wow, and he's in a political position of power. That's surprising.
Well, this came to me with a bunch of information about how dumb is our Congress, how uneducated is our Congress. So that's pretty significant, I think. The article went on to say that the admiral that he was questioning about the move just nearly broke up and tried to stifle his smirk and his laugh. And then this guy's staff came out later and said that he had some kind of residue from hepatitis C that caused him sometimes to lose his thought, train of thought. Wow. That's like Janet Napolitano saying the other day that she's the head of Homeland Security, that they were going to be protecting Americans 364 days a year. Like, you know, where did this other day go?
One day a year, it's a free-for-all. You're on your own.
Yes, and I would like people to go to their local Walmart when this starts. But Janet Napolitano has asked all of us to spy on our neighbors and to talk about or report anything to an Obama manager that they might find suspicious. Now, why wouldn't they do that anyway if we're intelligent people? Do we have to be told that, you know, here's a guy with a bomb and he's threatening to light the torch or whatever? What does terrorism have to do with Walmart? And why do we have to watch Janet Napolitano's face saying, watch your neighbor, they could be terrorists? Terrorism watch starts at home. You know, if our local Walmart starts that, I will not go back, and I will complain heavily to the manager, because our office spends lots of money for supplies and stuff at Walmart. That's ridiculous.
I think it's ridiculous, and I really think it goes into the pile of they've meaning the government and the people who support that faction of thought really have seen that fear, you know, it's so bad. I almost wanted to say evil, but I can't quite say evil. The whole idea of creating, you know, more paranoia and more fear, you know, just as a way to manipulate and control us and to rationalize what they want to do. It's horrible. It's bad.
Did we talk about Walmart on the show last week?
Maybe. It's all a blur.
That they're going to put in scanners like the airport. And now there was another one on the news. They're putting cherry pickers up in their parking lot because so many people got held up, robbed, in the Walmart parking lot. I can see that. That's a camera, you know. That's out there.
Yeah.
And if I saw some strange behavior in the parking lot, I'd report that also. But I certainly wouldn't go around looking for it, looking to run it. And I would think that they're going to start offering rewards. But there is a guy that did a whole piece on this. You can look at YouTube about Obama's Walmart's scam, tricksters, whatever. I can't remember the word I'm looking at. Snitches is the word they use. Walmart snitches, and he talks about the legal ramifications of this and how Walmart's really going to get themselves in trouble.
It sure seems like it. Yeah, but as I say, really for me, the bugaboo is this sense of, you know, it really does sound like, you know, the Nazis with the, you know, making everybody paranoid about their neighbors. Because if they're doing it at Walmart, and then it seems easy to start talking about, well, watch your neighbors and make sure they're, you know, it's so, you know, that classic scene in the movie where they always try and get people to fight amongst themselves, and that's what it seems like they're trying to create, is a sense of watch everybody around you, anybody could be a spy or a terrorist. And I guess, really, if you extrapolate that out, that can be true, but at some point we have to begin to trust and know our neighbors, and by knowing our neighbors, we can establish relationships and know who people are, instead of this paranoid wackiness.
United we stand. You know,
See, that thing, that's it, yeah, that's it.
One of the things we do on this show is look at NanoVoice and look at our leaders' voices. And we did Janet Napolitano's voice. And you know, normal is 42 on ego, the note of C. Hers was 1,134. I'm not looking at it, but it was the most ridiculous score I have ever seen. And it was above the four octaves that we look at, because it takes the four major octaves, a nano voice. And for those of you who don't have that, nano, N-A-N-O, voice.org. And you can look at Napolitano's voice as she is saying, report anything suspicious at Walmart. You know, I would think Walmart would report anything. If somebody comes in and buys all 100 guns, I don't know if you have guns at your Walmart, but we do, because it's a rural kind of hunting area. If somebody came in and bought all 100 guns, one, there's a waiting period. But I would think Walmart would report something like that. Or if they came in and bought component parts for a bomb, which I don't even know if you could buy it at Walmart. I know ammonia on a cloth would certainly sting your nose and probably incapacitate you for a while. But, you know, you could probably incapacitate somebody with a pop top on a tuna can. You know, we're going to report that. I find this whole thing ridiculous. Before we start, I want to share something quick with you. We just redid the GMO article for a press release. So if any of you want that, let me know. Just Sherry, S-H-A-R-R-Y, on air at gmail.com. And I would like you to send it to all of your doctor friends, your local newspapers, anybody you know that you think they would be interested in that, because it's about how Monsanto has defiled our wheat, barley, and rye to the point where it has reduced glutathione, and I'm really leading up to something about bread here, glutathione in our food supply, and it's causing things like MS and autism and all kinds of cell signaling diseases. And one of the things that all of us probably eat is bread. And I really heard this on the TV. It was a commercial for women who were pregnant, and they said one of the things that you need if you are a pregnant woman is white bread. White bread. Can you believe that?
Wow.
And
is this like a Wonder Bread ad, or who's,
yeah,
I mean,
I don't know.
Wow.
I think it was an ad for folic acid. But it said, if you're pregnant, white bread is a great source of folic acid. That was just like yesterday. For you and your developing child. So they didn't say, so eat leafy vegetables and grains that are full of folic acid. They said, white bread is a great source. White bread.
You know, white bread.
Gummy goo. You know, I tried to eat Wonder Bread, and it's so gummy, it sticks to the roof of your mouth.
I remember as a kid, the only thing I remember as a kid, the big treat was to have Wonder Bread, because I was of the generation about the time that Wonder Bread was invented, and how cool it was because you could put peanut butter and then sort of wad it up into a ball. It was so gummy and gooey. I don't remember liking it particularly. I just remember the fun of playing with it mostly.
Well, this article talks about Monsanto and how they have tried to make their seeds Roundup resistant and ended up poisoning the people. And I don't know if they realize that, but, you know, we should get this out to as wide an audience as we possibly can. And by the way, folic acid's also in asparagus and spinach, liver, grain, sunflower seeds, egg yolk, peas, beans. So you don't have to use white bread. Here's something else that was sent to us by Eileen, that European Union is outlawing herbs. They are to be treated as a pharmaceutical now, and it takes anywhere from 180,000 to 225,000 per herb to allow it to market. You know, this S510 that went through in that bill, which was passed during this lame duck session, where I lost all faith in the United States governing people until yesterday, which I'll tell you about. But they said in that 510 bill that Obama gave himself permission to go into any country that exports food to the U.S. and set up inspection stations in that country. And we'll see that.
Wow.
Pardon?
Wow.
That's the one where you weren't allowed to grow tomatoes on your porch. And they finally upped it to like $500,000. But you still aren't allowed to share. And with another thing, a guy was arrested. This was in Canada. He butchered a hog and gave his neighbor some of it, and they arrested him for sharing uninspected meat. Nothing really wrong with it. He'd been doing it for years, but he got arrested this year.
Wow.
People have, somebody sent in a question here, Tony. It says, if you give somebody the sound of oxygen after you tape up their mouth and nose so they couldn't breathe, would they die? Tony, I don't know. We've never tried this. But he or she goes on to say, if you can give vitamins by sound, why can't you give oxygen by sound? You will have to find a volunteer. So I really don't know. I'm going to play a short clip for you because it has something in it that will teach you about nano voice. And maybe you can listen for your partner's voice that has this in it. And I'm going to go share my desktop. And for those of you just on air with us and not on the WebEx, we are looking at Obama. And this was done January 1st, yesterday. It says, Obama looks to long-term recovery. Now, remember how Obama has been doing these short, clippy little sentences looking left and right and never straight ahead? It's like, I'm here to tell you that this is what's going to happen. He's kind of like that. Well, this is a totally different speech, and it gave me a little bit of hope, and I'll tell you why in a minute. And at minute 2:33, he tells a lie. Now, I will stop it right there so you can listen for the lie. It's about how well we are perceived by other countries and how we are poised for greatness. I'm going to start this at the beginning here. Oh, and I hope it doesn't go back to the stupid commercial.
Hello, everybody. As we close the books on 1 year and begin another, I want to take a moment today to wish you a very happy new year and to talk a little bit about the year that lies ahead. At the start of 2011.
Do you hear how he's not using that clipped voice? He's also looking straight ahead, which is something he does when he's telling the truth and being even level with you. At the end of this, he starts putting his nose in the air. So if you go look at this, and I think I've posted it on the chat, when he starts sticking his nose in the air and not looking at you, that's when he's not truthful. So for those of you not watching this, Richard, can you see this video going on?
Yes, I can. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead with it. Notice how he's speaking like Ronald Reagan. He's not speaking like Obama at all. The pattern is very much full sentences. It's obvious he's reading, unusual for Obama.
We're still just emerging from a once-in-a-lifetime recession that's taken a terrible toll on millions of families. We all have friends and neighbors trying to get their lives back on track. We are, however, riding a few months of economic news that suggests our recovery is gaining traction. And our most important task now is to keep that recovery going. As president, that's my commitment to you, to do everything I can to make sure our economy is growing, creating jobs, and strengthening our middle class. That's my resolution for the coming year. Still, even as we work to boost our economy in the short term, it's time to make some serious decisions about how to keep our economy strong, growing, and competitive in the long run. We have to look ahead, not just to this year, but to the next 10 years and the next 20 years. Where will new innovations come from? How will we attract the companies of tomorrow to set up shop and create jobs in our communities? What will it take to get those jobs? What will it take to outcompete other countries around the world? What will it take to see the American dream come true for our children and grandchildren? Our parents and grandparents asked themselves those questions, and because they had the courage to answer them, we've had the good fortune to grow up in the greatest nation on earth. Now it's our turn to think about the future. In a few days, a new Congress will form, with one House controlled by Democrats and one House controlled by Republicans, who now have a shared responsibility to move this country forward. And here's what I want you to know. I'm willing to work with anyone of either party who's got a good idea and the commitment to see it through. And we should all expect you to hold us accountable for our progress or our failure to deliver. As I've said since I first ran for this office, solving our challenges won't be quick or easy. We've come through a difficult decade, one of new threats and new trials we didn't expect when it began. But a new year and a new decade stretches out before us. And if we just remember what America is capable of and live up to that legacy, then I'm confident that we are poised for a period of...
Okay, this is where the lies come in. Listen to all of the nuance out of his voice. It's no longer full and rich.
Progress. One in which our economy is growing, our standing in the world is rising, and we do what it takes to make sure America remains in the 21st century what it was in the 20th.
Could you hear the difference in his voice? What did he say? Our popularity is rising? Something like that. He knows that that's not the truth. Okay, I am going to move. I'm going to say stop sharing here. And then share on the other side of my desk because there is an article here that I've written. It's 11 pages. If you guys want a copy of it, you're welcome to. But you can see, for those of you who are on WebEx with us, and if you're not on WebEx, I will send you this paper. Just write to me, Sherry on there, Sherry with an A, and I'll send it right out to you. But if you're on WebEx, you can see Obama looking straight ahead, and then him looking with his nose up. That's what happens when he's not telling the truth. And I've used Nano Voice for a year and a half now to look at his voice through the campaign and through last year. And you can see the development of what happened. This is not Obama's normal voice. This is him attempting to emulate Ronald Reagan. So I've put the video links up for you. Now, in the beginning, when he first started his speech in Chicago, his acceptance speech, his notice C, which is his ego, was pretty small down where most of his voice is, 18. That's the normal score of 42. But you can see up high in the mental area, high above everything else and not attached to his voice at all, he has a 90. Now remember, normal is 42. So I thought, well, that's okay. He knows he's just won for presidency. He should be kind of egotistical. So 90, double score, okay. Then in August, he was blaming the media because he couldn't connect with the people. And his score for ego, 113, a little high. So then he went on, and this was in November, where he's saying, oh, the Republicans can go with us, but they got to sit in the back seat. His score of ego there, 132, even higher. But he has a score of 205 on C-sharp. his stubbornness is beginning to kick in. It will be his way or no way. But if you're looking at the graph, you can also see that his voice is scattered everywhere. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to pull it together. It's a big bunch of crap, a big bunch of huff and bluff when people are doing that. So if you're asking somebody about an affair or did you really do this, and their voice is scattered like that, they're just doing a dance trying not to tell you. Here is 183 when Obama called to the people to get out and vote in November. And his C-sharp was only 22 at that point. So he was asking people, using his ego, and also using the note of B at 251, he tried to portray that he really cared about humanity. Then after the election, when he was so ticked off and trying to hide it, and the more he tries to hide, the more he clicks his head back and forth. Ego is 379. This is a disillusioned and physically depressed Obama. Even though he tries to disguise his voice, a lot of the same things come out, especially in the first two things that we see in this chart. Now, this is his speech from yesterday. Ego is high, 139, but at least it's down with the rest of his voice. And he has a 92 ego up high. So there's been a reduction, except on that last little piece that starts at 2 minutes and 33 seconds, and then his ego goes high again. The man thinks that because he says it, it's going to happen. There were some other things I went through to look at. Will Obama disarm America? His way, yes. His ego score on that one was 76. He thinks this is a totally rational and useful decision that's good for everyone. So if you've got a dictator kind of partner, you could kind of look at that score and see if you want to stay with that and put up with it or get out of it. Obama on Palin. Oh, this was a kicker. Has his own plans for her, thinks he's out in front of her, thinks he can make her useful to him in the future. He has no ego about this, simply that he has nothing to be concerned about from Palin. I also don't think Palin's going to end up running, and she totally lost any support from me when she decided that Julian Assange was guilty and should be brought back here and tried, which is Obama about Biden, his vice president, he just sees him as useful. And Obama on the Transportation Security Association, he needs TSA to build on another plan, to be physically creative, to be useful. And on that one, he is hiding the real issues of what TSA is and all the scanners at the airport. There really is something way beyond that. So I did some composites, and surprisingly, he really lacks the note of E, even to his ego. So at this point, he's not even writing his own words. He was doing that before. And he has a love of humanity, but he has taken on a persona of, I am king, I own all the land, I will do as I see fit with all the land, and I will tax you accordingly and give it away to all my friends as I see fit. This is back to English rule, and I think it's despicable. What my prediction? Maybe Obama has learned a little bit. Maybe he's putting out this idea of cooperation. But he is still going to have it his way, no matter what. And I think if we continue to put this out, if we continue to hold his feet to the fire about serving the Constitution, honoring the Constitution, I think maybe we can get some of this crap backed off that went through the lame duck session, which we ought to outlaw anybody. Anyway, people who lost the election are in there to see what they can get, and it's silliness. But it is so obvious if you look at the King of England and how, I think this started with Edward. First started, he sent out census takers to see what everybody had, what people were doing with his land. He owned England and everything there. You know, and we are nearly taxed for everything we do. They haven't taxed going to the bathroom yet, but I think they're getting close. So if any of you want a copy of this, we will post it on our site, and our new site will probably go up this week, or I can send it to you ahead of time. And there's transcripts in here of what all of this means. And I think because Obama's ego decreased to 90, maybe there is some help. And I'm going to write to him because he said, anybody who has a better idea, then get in contact with me. So I'm going to do it. And Mimi, I see your hand up there. I'm going to stop sharing here and go back.
Let me put a quick note in there that I think part of what's going on with Obama is that he got into office thinking that being president meant something in terms of he would be able to tell what people what to do, and he's seen that he can't tell, so therefore his ego has to back up a little and he has to get more into politicking and, you know, to try and bring both sides of the parties together and try and get something done that way. So that may have softened his ego.
Well, it certainly appears that way, and his ego is not as out of control as it was. I just see him as a very arrogant person who says, I know what's best for you, and this is what's going to happen. And if Congress doesn't agree with him, he's going to do it by executive order anyway, as long as that C-sharp stays high. If you're in a relationship with somebody and their C-sharp is their highest note, they're going to do it their way, whether they're going to give you lip service or not. Mimi, I see your hand. Well, Mimi, your hand was up. I will get back to you. I want to talk about what we talked a little bit about last week, and I could not remember all of the languages of love, and Devin sent this to me. Actually, two people sent it to me. And the five things are giving of gifts, giving of time, acts of service, physical affection, and words of praise. So we talked last week and we gave you an assignment of five questions that you could answer, and we could figure out your style and go that way, or we could just have you give us a vocal print and we'd go from there. Maybe we'll start with Richard. I'm going to talk about his questions first. Do for those, what do you do to show people you love them? What do you do to show people you don't care? And then what others do to show you they care? And what others do to show you they don't care? And then the perfect love scene. And I used to teach this, and within those five questions, you can pretty much find what your style is. So if I ask Richard a few questions here, or I'll just do my own and tell you kind of what I think. Okay, what do I do to show people I love them? I support their needs. If they need money or something like that, I'll give it to them. I buy them little presents, little things that kind of look like them, or a sweater or whatever. It doesn't have to be an occasion, just, you know, whatever happens to be going on at the time. And I spend time with them, like with my grandkids, puzzles and games or playing cards or whatever they want to do. That's how I show somebody that I care about them. Time is my most precious commodity. I don't have a lot of it. What do I do to show people I don't care? No supporting communication. I speak only in response I don't initiate contact. So if I'm talking to you, I still care, even if it's critical. I guess that's kind of a nasty way to be, but that's the way I am. But if I think there's any hope for improvement, I'll keep speaking to you. And mainly I was talking about employees there. So I do that to my husband, too. If he's doing something that ticks me off, I'll tell you what he does tick me off in a minute. I just won't talk to him unless he speaks. I'll be polite and I'll answer his question. But one of the things that he and I have had for the last, I mean, we've been together 40-some years, and is our language. And if I say to him, don't shout at me, he'll say, I'm not, or don't yell at me, that's what I said, don't yell at me. He'll come back with, I'm not yelling at you. Well, yelling to him meant being loud, and yelling to me meant being critical. So just finding people's communication styles is not an easy thing. But the biggest thing that ticks me off in our relationship is he can sit down and do nothing and watch TV and play pool or go out with the guys or whatever when there's a ton of work to be done, and he would rather go play and leave the work for me. And the more work I do, the more he lets me do, and the more I finally said, I've had enough of this. This needs done in this partnership, and it has to be done now. He said, you mean you didn't really want to do that? I was like, oh my God. I don't think, in my personal opinion, I don't think you should have to beg your partner to take their 50% of the responsibility. Actually, I think it should be 60-60, but if you have to beg your partner to pick up their own dishes or put their laundry in the hamper or clean up the coffee mess that they spilled, then that's not an equal relationship. And I would think that person would have so much D in their voice, which says, I know I'm appreciated, I don't have to do anything to earn it. You want to jump into any of this, Richard?
I'm thinking about it as, well, there's a bazillion questions in there. The note of D sharp. I want a D sharp, detector to start with. That'd be really handy. I just like to hold it out and see if it's a D sharp, D sharp detector. That would be really good.
But too much or too little of any of it can be a problem.
Yeah, any state of imbalance.
Yeah.
So is it partially, the communication thing is, I was thinking about that thing you were talking about where you feel when he's being critical is talking loud, and when he feels he's talking loud, he feels he's talking loud. Is that just a communication that needs to be clarified, or is that something you just need to be aware of? I'm asking you this as the, more the loving communications instructor.
It's a matter of how you speak to each other. And in this case, yelling at me was him being critical. And if he ever he doesn't get loud, so that's an issue. But there's a lot of other things just about communication. If I say, boy, I really need to pick up in here, that means I'm going to do it and he can set and not have to do it. So I've learned to change my language to, we need to clean up in here, to include him in it. I was programming him that I was going to do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Looking at that communication style and including the other person in it, or you need to pick up your stuff. I just expected he was going to do it. It's funny. I bought this, he throws his clothes on the floor, and I bought this laundry hamper, and I put it where he threw his clothes. So he threw his clothes beside it. It was just great. And I was like, why won't you at least put them in the hamper? I was like, oh, I didn't know that you bought that hamper for me. And it finally got to the point where I don't even do his laundry. I don't pick it up. I don't do it. If he's just going to leave it laying any place, he's going to collect it, and he's going to pick it up. I just don't look at the spot where he drops all his stuff. So it's a matter of tolerance, too, at the same time.
And is part of it about, is it, and it's partially, it seems like it's about learning Like, to him, maybe the spilled coffee isn't important or doesn't... I'm not talking about him in relationship to you. I'm talking about just him in general or specifically. So to him, perhaps the spilled coffee isn't important and doesn't get that it's important to you. So to them, it's like it's not important, period. Is that it?
Well, he says he doesn't even notice.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Dribbled coffee all down the pot and down the cabinet. He doesn't see it. But boy, let a dust web be anywhere, and he's right on it.
Yeah.
So it's just a difference in spilled dribbles down the cabinet. To me, they just look bad, and they look bad to me because we rarely have company, but I don't want my house looking like that. To me, if my house is in disorder, it puts my mind in disorder.
Uh-huh.
Cope well. So what others do for you to show you care, to me, it's appreciation, acts of service, like asking my grandson to mow my lawn. What can they do to make my life a little easier? And it's not like, no, I need you to do this right away. They can say, Grandma, I can't do it. Can you get somebody else? I would really appreciate that, but don't promise me and not do it. So people lying to me and people withholding the truth, people not informing me, all of those things, to me, deal with show they don't care. Lying, I think, is a biggie. But it shouldn't be, because most people lie to keep you caring about them. We withhold about 40%, about 20% is false. I don't think I have this right. We withhold about 40%, and the other half of that we tell the truth half of that time, and we tell falsehoods half of that time. Even little things like, oh, this dress was only $19. It was a really bargain. When really it was $59, you know? Because we want people to care about us and not yell and scream at us because we spent $59 on a dress. So respect for decision or respect for action. In my case, another one was my husband. He found a pop bottle in our car, and he doesn't like me to drink pop. And it wasn't mine at all. It was somebody who was in my car, and he was trying to give me a lecture about it. I said, one, what makes you think this is my pop bottle? And two, what gives you the right to be the authority figure or my father? If I want to drink pop, I will drink pop. You are not my daddy. You are my partner. And then the conversation came out, well, he's concerned about my kidneys and pop's bad for your kidneys and blah, blah, blah. So his was about a health concern, not about a power trip. So I took it as a power trip. He took it as concern. So where
See, I think that's a great example of each person having what I would call a different trigger. His trigger was that he was doing it from a position of having either concern or caring about you, and your response to it was kind of being told something by somebody who thought they had some kind of power over you. So it's like almost like crosstalk, because he's saying one thing and you're taking it one way and he's presenting it. You know, it's like you're both... That's where communication fascinates me, because he's saying one thing to you from a caring position, and you're taking it from a position of, well, who the heck are you, and why do you think you have the right to tell me, you know? I'm not saying either one is right or wrong. I'm just observing that I think that's really interesting how even people who've known each other for a long time can have these communications where it's that, what I would call a crosstalk.
Well, you have to consider where they're coming from. If he'd have said to me, I don't like you anymore because you're green, you know, that's just ridiculous because my skin's pink or orangey pink. So where are they coming from? Is their parent, their child, or their adult? Parent, child. The parent's going to try to control you and say, this is the way it's going to be. And the child is going to try to wheedle and manipulate. But that adult is going to meet you at an adult level. So think about how they're saying this statement to you. The adult will always leave you the choice. The parent will not. They'll say, you're not going to eat that, are you? there's no choice in that. But the adult will say, well, it's so bad, but is that on your diet? Or is that something that's good for you? Or better still, if you're going to eat that, could I get you some digestive enzymes? Because you know your body doesn't digest it very well.
Uh-huh.
But the child's, I'm going to have to put up with you crying and bellering, and I really don't want to do this. You don't really want to eat that, do you? Kind of wheedling at you kind of thing.
Yeah.
So the last one was the perfect love scene. And I don't know that there is a perfect love scene. My perfect love scene would be like an all-day or an all-week affair, slow sharing, equal reciprocation. To me, shows people really care. Except kissing is not part of my love scene. I think kissing, except a little peck on the cheek or something, is absolutely absurd. And that's hard for a lot of people to understand. Because for most people, that's part of their love scene. So just getting that out in the open, what's good, what feels good, what doesn't, what you like. You know, it's bizarre not to like kissing, but there it is. I just think it's germy and dirty.
You know too much about the germs.
You know, maybe that's it. I really don't know. Richard, you want to see what your style is since you're here?
Sure, I'm here. Unless there's a volunteer whose hand is shot up.
Mimi did have, but Madeline's got her hand up. Let's open her mic. First, I'm going to have to give her a mic. Pass the mic to Madeline. And Madeline, I'm going to unmute your mic. So, Madeline, you're up and running. Are you there? You might have to hold down your control button for us to hear you. Madeline, talk to me. Well, Madeline is not talking to me. Okay, Mimi's got her hand up. Let's pass the mic over to Mimi. She has a mic. We just need to unmute her. There's Mimi back. You had your hand up.
Yeah.
We're getting an echo here.
Don't know why.
There, that's way better. Okay, can you see our...
What I wanted to tell you is that I could hear Richard, but none of us, I don't think, can. He sounds like he's in another room this whole time.
Oh, dear. I should,
Yeah. So I could barely make out any of his words.
And he...
That's why I was trying to tell you.
He said some very wise things. Mimi, next time that happens, could you go down to the chat and just chat to me?
I did chat.
Oh, dear.
I did. You didn't see it.
I totally ignored that. So you don't want... 90 seconds? I can't believe this.
Yeah, it's all over with the shouting.
It has been a good show, and I would highly recommend this one book, L.O.B.E. It's very practical, down-to-earth, easy read. I marked a little spot here that I wanted to share with people. Are you hardwired? So next week, we are going to be doing our computer program, The Sex Factors. And for this one, you may want to hide your identity. But we're going to talk about the biochemistry of love. And there's a quote in here by Sarah Bingham. I can't be a wife. I'm not that sort of person. Wives have to compromise all the time. And I think if you have to compromise all the time with your partner, it's not a good partnership. And remember that the person who cares the least has the control. Thank you for being with us. Tune in next week. The Sex Factors. We're going to look at your biochemistry and see what's going on there. Your dopamine, all that stuff that's in chocolate. Richard, I certainly thank you for...
thank you. Even though it's over just as we're getting going, it's always fun.
We are going to do vocal brands next week. People, get prepared.
Doggone it.
Call. And thanks for listening today. Don't forget Happy Hour. We're going to start that again on Tuesday.